As a young teenage boy, I'm so glad that I grew up with parents who brought me to church and, you could say, forced me, absolutely. There wasn't a hope that I would ever miss church as a young man. And as long as I was in their home, up into my teens, didn't matter how bad my day was, you got up and you went to church. Someone said, well, weren't they afraid they would turn you off? I said, nope, not a chance, because they knew how crucial God's word was. But I remember in about 17 and on, 17, 18, and 19, I began to take a look at the world and recognized that God's word is so special, and I need to get myself anchored in it. And I began to read some of the believers from the eastern side of this planet. You know, we're in the western world and everything is fast. Microwave it, just whatever you can do to hurry it up. But as I began to read some of the precious men and women of God from the east, and they would talk about meditating. They would talk that you could increase the results of the power of God in your life through something they called meditating. And so I began I found some great teachers of the word. I'd find some great teaching books. And then I'd have my Bible open in front of me. And every day, I began to not just know what the Bible says, but I began to meditate, because I began to recognize that these truths needed to own my heart, this deep, deep, deep level of me. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, that's how he lives. And I began to recognize that it was up to me, that my whole future wasn't in God's hands. Someone's freaking out right now. But that it was in God's hands and my hands together. There was a part God would play. That's his grace. But there was a part that I would need to play in this. And that was my faith. And that faith came from the word. I began to meditate. I began to dive in. I remember in my late teens, literally just going through the word. I would read a book. Literally, now I'm reading about a book a day. Back then, I could probably polish off a book in every day or two. I just had this hunger for God's word. And I've never stopped since then. But the one thing that I noticed that was really amazing was that I was working at the time in a hospital. They began a paramedic program. There weren't any programs like that in the province. And so I was part of this pilot project, being taught out of the ORs, the resus rooms, doctors, etc. And then I began to be around sick, dying people, dead bodies, you name it. And I'll never forget the miracles that began in my life as I began to pray. And I had to do it Secret Service style, because in a hospital, they have chaplains, and I almost got fired twice because they saw me pray for somebody, and I had to recognize that I had to do it in a way that was contemporary. I had to kind of involve the people. I couldn't get on my knees by the bed because I'd get fired on the spot. I'd have to pray with my eyes open. I wouldn't be able to raise my voice and deepen my voice and thus saith the Lord. I learned so many ways to minister to people where it was just, I call this now spirit contemporary. It just fits the situation that I'm in. And then I begin to see miracles. And at first it was stunning, but yet at the same time, because I was kind of marinating myself, meditating in the word, that I began to expect, I began to look for opportunities, and I would minister, and I began to see miracle after miracle. And so many of them are in many of the messages that I do. In the book called The Spirit Contemporary Life, I literally chronologize a ton of the miracles that I began to see as a young man. I begin to believe that when it comes to praying for the physical body, when it comes to praying for broken minds, that this something began to change on me. There was a presence of God on my life that I had never had before. I remember one time as a paramedic, we didn't call them paramedics, but that was a quick word to use for it. But as we would go, one time we went for a tour, And we went into this floor of a hospital where they kept the criminally insane, those who were had lost their minds and they were locked up there. I remember coming up for a tour in case we had calls there, and as the elevator closed behind me and locked with another group of men, this young woman that was just down the hall and being escorted somewhere just turned and started to shriek and ran at me. And I mean, all of us guys were standing, what in the world? And the security person that was guiding us around, he didn't know what to do. And I just stood there and something came over me, a peace. And she came running at me and then just hit her knees right on the floor. And in front of all these young men, she walked right, she slid right up to me and was just begging and pleading and her babbling away, and everyone could tell, why did she pick out Leon? And I sensed something was changing in my life, that the Bible is not just a book of rules, it's not just some great wisdom for you to carry on, but that when you meditate in the Word, that something happens upon your life, that you can go from strength to strength. As I continued to work in that area for 7 years, God began to teach me about ministering to the sick, about ministering in situations like multiple car accidents and staying cool and even being led by the Spirit when there wasn't something quite right and I hadn't read the scene of the accident properly. And all of a sudden, something would drop into my spirit and I knew that we had to do it this way instead or that way. I remember as I began to pastor here at Springs, and when I got here, it was almost a bankrupt church. In fact, I made more money working for my dad's church of 200 people as the youth pastor than they could afford to pay me as the senior pastor coming to Springs Church. And I remember now applying my faith and applying meditating in God's Word on this issue of now business-like growth, debt cancellation, handling finances, training staff, believing God that an organization could rise up out of almost bankruptcy and almost just huge debt load and begin to prosper and begin to see it go into the millions, and then another organization. And people say, well, Leon, what's your key? And they don't like what I tell them because they want to know a leadership principle, a management principle, an administration principle. And I got a ton of those, but I'll tell you what it was for me. For me, it was taking God's Word every day and meditating in it and getting it on the inside of me. I read about men like David, and I read about men like Solomon. I read about people who didn't have seminaries, didn't have doctorate programs. They just grew up and God would take them and do incredible things with them, but they always would spend time with God. And today I want to challenge you that we are so lazy in the West. We just want to hear a message. Usually when I speak today, we know that I've got to be done this message in 30 minutes. Because after 30 minutes, there is this massive drop-off of attention. People, when we were doing services, they'll just gather their Bible and their purse and just get up and walk out because you're going longer than 30 minutes. We're so spoiled. I would spend hours when I could. And I would just sit in a chair, put books and a cassette player back then, and I would just study certain topics and just marinate it. And I would just talk to God. I found out that when you talk about the Scriptures, that the Bible says in John chapter 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and that the Word was God. And it goes on to explain that when you say Bible or Scriptures or Jesus, they're the same thing. You could never say you love Jesus and not love the Bible, because they're one. God's Word is so beautiful. I began to read in Mark 16, 20 was one of the first verses I cut my teeth on, that the disciples, after Jesus died and rose again, that it says they went out and preached the Word. And it says God confirmed His Word with miracles and signs and wonders. God does not confirm your desires. God does not confirm your begging. God does not confirm your stories. God does not confirm your neediness. God confirms His Word. And as I begin to meditate in the Word in the area of physical, I begin to see healings. As I begin to meditate in the Word in the areas of finance and organizations and structures, I begin to see it grow. And something took place on the inside of me that it stretched me out and it continued. And today there are things that are ahead of us as a church that I know I must spend time in the Word, besides understanding systems and structures and the CRTC and the finances, and I love all that, But I've never stopped because I've recognized that God confirms his word with signs following. What does that mean? If you want to see miraculous intervention in your finances, your marriage, your home, your business, your physical body, your mind, your career, your future, your family, your generations, then God will help you. But you can't just say, well, I begged him. No, he confirms his word. He doesn't confirm your begging. Read it. In Mark chapter 16, verse 20. And here's where so many Christians, especially in the West, lazy microwave Christianity. Well, the Bible says, you know, if you ask him, he's going to do it. Of course it says that. And it also gives you a ton of other principles that you need to dive into his word. Jesus said in John 6:63 that the words that I speak are spirit and they are life. You think the words I'm speaking right now are just a physical word and that these sound waves are going in this microphone and blasting out through your radio or through these, and it's just an actual physical thing, but it's not. Jesus said that when the presence of God is attached to a human being and you are born again, that the words, when you speak God's word, that it is spirit and it is life. In Psalms 107 and verse 20, it literally says, he sent his word and healed them. What? He didn't even have to go there physically. The centurion said to Jesus one time, you don't need to come pray for my friend. You just speak the word because I'm a man under authority and I know what that means. You just speak. You don't need to come to my house. Speak the word. And he sent his word and he healed them. In Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 10, it talks about if you want to walk in salvation, and the word salvation does not mean just saved from hell. It means saved from sickness, saved from disease, saved from the entire curse of the law. What do you need? If you want God's help, you'll need the word. When you first get born again, things come pretty quick and easy, and they can stay that way. But you'll need the word. You'll need, just like you can set aside 12 years to become a doctor and a specialist, just like you got to set aside 4, 5, 6 years of university if you want to lead many of the organizations and corporations in today's world, you need to set aside time with the same sense of discipline. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God as a workman that needs not to be ashamed and rightly divide the word of truth. As I travel around and I speak for different denominations and conferences and groups, there is an entire wing of the Christian faith that they just believe the crazier you are, the nuttier you are, that the more you can make this bizarreness go on in your services, that it means God was there. And they'll say things like, ooh, the anointing was strong today. Someone spit, fell, ran, jumped, freaked out. God was here. And it makes normal people go, well, who wants more of God? If you got to freak out, fall out, spit out, shriek out. And I know that when people get ministered to, that sometimes there's great emotional reactions, and that's fine. But I begin to recognize as early on as a paramedic that God could use me in the most tremendous, powerful ways, in boardrooms, in ambulances, in resus rooms, in ORs, where no one needed to be offended or fire me, but I could function in a contemporary way and see the amazing presence of God. I want to say something today. Today what I'm trying to do is to get you to have this awe about the word of God. In Psalms 84 and 7, it says that you can grow from strength to strength and increase, and the Amplified says, in victorious power. Your life, your ability, the power, the peace, the joy, the prosperity, the blessing, the healing can increase in your life. Oh, I know how to increase it in my life, but I can't increase it in your life. I can just show you how. And then you've got to make that decision. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 to 20 is a stunning verse that most people ignore. And even the ones who know it don't practice it. It shows us that there is an armor, a spiritual armor for the believer. But then it says, there is a sword of the Spirit. And everyone thinks it's a sword of the Holy Spirit. No, it's a sword that your human spirit wields when Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. And it says that sword that your human spirit with Holy Spirit in you holds and uses is the Word of God. And that as you begin to meditate on the Word and get the Word on the inside of you, it goes on to teach how that you become stronger and stronger. Your words become bold. Courage begins to rise up on the inside of you. And God confirms what you say when you use His Word. And what's beautiful is Holy Spirit will even guide you to the right person. Often as I begin to dive into the Word and meditate in the Word, I would walk into a situation and the Spirit of God would drop a verse into my heart. And I would speak that verse out of my mouth. Kind of reminds me of Star Wars. You know, they got these swords that's just got a handle in your hand. But then when you push the hand, the button, bam, this sword appears. It's like I'd walk into a situation not knowing what I was going to say, not knowing what I was going to do. And all of a sudden, bam, a verse would drop into my heart that I had been meditating on. And it's like it got super fired up. And I would just declare it. If I was by myself, I would just take that verse and I would just speak it over a situation and watch the whole situation just change. Everything you see around you, for those that are here in the parking lot, 129 acres from here all the way to number one highway, it was piece by piece, believed for, spoken the word for, from the buildings, from those buildings there, and all of the other cities and things that we own. Literally, I think it's almost 500,000 of square feet in buildings that God has blessed us with. You say, well, why didn't God bless somebody else with it? He'll bless anybody that'll believe Him. There is no limits to what you couldn't do in your business, in ministry, etc. But He confirms His Word. It doesn't say He confirms your vision. There's a lot of people with vision today. A lot of people will tell me their vision. A lot of people even got plans today. They'll tell me how they're going to walk out their plan for their company, their church, their business. And then I say, well, are you in the Word? Because God confirms the Word with signs following. We've got to understand that for the Christian today to be thoroughly equipped to do God's work supernaturally, you need the Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, it says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. It says here that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped. Listen, when it says man, gender-wise, it means men and women. For if you're a believer here today, this is not just for preachers. You need to be thoroughly equipped with the Word of God. It needs to take root in your heart. It needs to grow up. It needs to be something you never back out of, that you are continually, every day, set aside some time to hang out with Jesus, to hang out in His Word. And something is going to change on the inside of you. When Jesus was talking about the Word, He would talk always about the Scriptures. In John chapter 10, verse 34 to 35, Jesus answered them and said, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? And if He called them gods unto whom the Word of God came, and the Scriptures cannot be broken. Do you know how amazing, infallible, how stunningly perfect the Word of God is? Jesus Himself says the Word of God, which the Bible also calls the Scriptures, it can't be broken. Nothing can upset it. Nothing can make it ineffective. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop the Word of God. But it's got to be wielded by you, born-again believer who begins to see the Word, meditate on the Word, let the Spirit of God teach it to you in your quiet times until you rise up. And now as you walk into business, you walk into family, you walk in your marriage, you walk where you need protection, where you need health, it's like this presence of God. You go from strength to strength. You're no longer just, well, I sure hope things go okay. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, it says there that Jesus is the bread of life. What does that mean, the bread of life? A type in the Old Testament was when the children of Israel were walking through the desert. They had no ability to find food. Where are you going to feed 2 million people? So what God did was He rained down a kind of heavenly bread. In the mornings, they would get up and they would go out into the desert, and they would all pick up enough manna, the Bible said, to last them for a day. If they tried to store it in case God didn't show up tomorrow, it rotted overnight. And they had to go out and find fresh manna every morning. Listen to me, Christian, for those who are watching me right now, anywhere around this world, if you do not recognize that bread is something that you eat that energizes you, that fills you, then you can grow a healthy body. If you're a child and that body's growing, you got to feed them. If Jesus is the bread of life, he is saying to you and I, you will need to eat of me every day. The Word, because Jesus is the Word. And I want to challenge you today that so many people don't understand. The only hope your mind has of handling this fallen world is program it with God's Word. The only hope that you've got against the devil, who's lost all of his power except his ability to deceive you. He will come in and put thoughts in your head, your kids' heads, your grandparents' heads, other people's heads about you. He will try to turn your power against you. But when you have literally the Word of God daily that you feed, meditate, you know, and the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, that if you want to see salvation from disease, salvation from poverty, salvation from divorce, salvation from all the curse of the law, it says that the Word of God must be in your mouth and the Word of God must be in your heart. The way to get it into your heart is to speak it out loud with your mouth. I was chatting with one of my children who, they love the Word, they know the Word, but I'm always looking for opportunities to encourage them and ask them what they're believing about and wanting to pray with them. And one of them shared this dream that they had and that they were believing for something. I said, okay, what verse are you standing on? Because I want to agree with you. Well, what do you mean? Well, what verse are you standing on for this miracle that you're believing God for? Well, nothing. I'm just speaking positively. The Bible does not say faith cometh by speaking positively. Now, being positive is an absolute part of the process of faith. But the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and understanding the Word. So we quickly went into the Bible together and found a few verses, put them together and prayed them out loud together and stood on those verses. And then every day that you speak those verses out about that situation, your faith is growing because faith cometh by hearing. You, your mind's being renewed. You're pushing aside the lies, disrupting all the weeds that might have gathered in your heart, and stunning things begin to happen. In Matthew chapter 4 is a story that really surprised me as a young man, and it shaped my entire future. It was a story of Jesus at the very beginning of his ministry, being led by the Bible says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He'd fasted 40 days. He was hungry. And then it says the devil showed up and started to tempt him. He said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now, I thought Jesus would go over there and just thunderbolt the sucker right off the planet. But he didn't. And he can't, actually, because the devil, when you get into the Word, there's a lease on this planet given to man that the enemy seemed to intervene in, but his time will come. Instead, Jesus said this. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus said, it is written. He just wasn't positive. He wasn't just telling him off. He wasn't cussing him out. He was saying, it is written. Then they said, the devil took him up, set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said, hey, you're the Son of God. Throw yourself down, for it is written. Now the devil's quoting the Bible. I got to say this. And there are so many believers out there, and the devil's been quoting the Bible to them out of context, messing them up. You can find whole belief systems out there, and you kind of go, what in the world is wrong with you? Why do you believe this ridiculousness? Because the devil can quote the Word, and he can try to come in and mess you up. You need to be in a life-giving church. Did you know the Bible says that there's a five-fold ministry? And in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that the fivefold ministry can never become one by themselves. You can't take enough Bible classes, go to enough seminary. You can't, because you don't decide whether or not you're an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist. These five, and these are all the people who teach and preach the word. The titles, don't even worry about them, but they are called by God, set in place by God. And you need to find a church where you can tell there's an anointed leader of God there. Because I got guys all over the place starting churches. I'll meet with them and try to help them out. And when I get done, go, there's not even an anointing on them to pastor. There's not even a presence of God upon them. Now, I'm not the one who's putting them in and out. So I try to help them out the best I can, and I just go my way looking after myself. But I'm stunned how many people love and they think it'd be a cool thing, men or women, to get into the ministry. You can't get into the ministry. It's a calling. You're set in the ministry. It is set there by God. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is because you need to be a part of a church that is teaching the word, not stories and experiences, unless it's to help embellish God's word. It is the word that we need. And so the devil starts quoting the word at Jesus. And then Jesus says, it is written. And again, he quotes the word. The devil tries a third time, takes him up on a high place, and he says to him, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world, and I'm going to give you all their glory, Jesus, if you will just fall down and worship me. Now, Jesus knew he had to go to the cross and die. He had to become sin, take the sin of the world, the sicknesses, the disease, the curse, die, go to hell. God would have to turn his head as he became that substitute for you and I. He knew that's what he was here to die and suffer for. And Satan saying, bow down, I'll just give it to you. It was a temptation. But Jesus said, away with you, Satan. It is written. Every time you pray, I've got something I would ask you. What verse are you standing on, meditating on, speaking out of your mouth? When you pray, do you pray the word? Or do you just pray your frustration? Well, look at the book of Psalms, Leon. David, there's like 100 chapters of him just sharing his depression and his unhappiness with God. You're right. And it's there for a reason to teach us. But David wasn't born again. He didn't have Holy Spirit in his human spirit. And so we learn a lot from the Old Testament about what to do and what not to do. Today, since the cross, we don't sit around just whining, crying, and hoping God will help us. We must get, if you're broken today and something's happened to your life and you're just destroyed on the inside, go to the Word of God. Listen to a message by an anointed preacher or teacher of the Word. Get into a church. Begin to maybe even find a great teaching book that you can open up and get your pen out or get it on your Kindle and begin to just read the teaching as they go to scriptures. And then you can go and check out these scriptures, because then it's the word that begins to heal that broken heart. It's the word that begins to renew that troubled mind. It's the word that gets you back on your faith and says, Jesus died for me to make it, and not just make it, but to succeed in every arena of life, and that's mine in Jesus' name. The word says, the word says, the word says, and it'll start coming out of you. There's been a number of times in my life where I've been physically attacked by somebody. I'll never forget this one person who was it's an elaborate story, but basically came at me with a tire iron. And as he's right in front of me, and I felt like taking him out myself, most guys would, but instead I looked at him and I just said, in Jesus' name. And it looked like something cold cocked him, just bam, like he ran into a wall. The tire iron hit the sidewalk and he turned and he ran. And there were witnesses there, what in the world happened? And I told them, because when the word of God is on the inside of you, the name of Jesus is the word. See, well, Leon, I'll just use the name of Jesus. I don't have to study the Bible. No, people use the name of Jesus all the time. It's the favorite swear word that's out there. But as the word of God begins to get planted in your heart, and you begin to marinate in the word, and you begin to believe in who you are, what was done on the cross, your heart begins to grow incredible harvests. This amplifier called your heart begins to amplify the word and its results. And God begins to confirm the word that's in your heart and in your mouth, in your life and every area around you. My time is up, but I've got to tell you something. If you don't begin to become a disciplined follower of Jesus through spending time in the word every day, People always tell me, well, Leon, I don't have time, so you just keep teaching and I'll keep listening. Listen, the 30 minutes I just gave you is only enough to get you interested to read and study the word for yourself. But in a year or two from today, if you don't do what I'm just talking about, you'll be in a miracle line somewhere hoping and praying for a miracle. And you know what? Thank God we get the odd one. But as I've looked after 40 years of preaching and teaching the word of God, I've noticed something. There are many, many, many people who walk in a constant flow of the blessing of God. They walk in a constant flow of the miraculous, signs and wonders. And by that, I don't mean they walk around and everybody just falls over. I mean, they just seem to, that it's like almost like serendipity. People say, well, it's like Pollyanna thinking. No, they just spend time in the Word. And through every storm, they're still smiling and standing. Through every attack, they seem to win. When they are knocked down, they pick themselves up every time. And you won't see them losing it mentally. There's a strength on them that it just is superhuman. It's the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word. It is the Word of God. My challenge to you is, the church has got a room set up when we're doing services in the buildings where it's got all of the teaching series that are sitting there. Teaching series that covers learning Holy Spirit, learning faith, learning grace. And I walk by sometimes and I'll say, hey, how are you guys doing at getting this word out? Well, you know, one or two today. Thousands upon thousands of people coming into church, but few will take the time to feed on the word and get it on the inside of them. Start tonight. You know, one of the differences between a spiritual appetite and a physical appetite is this. Your physical appetite, when you don't eat, you get hungrier. With God's word, when you stop studying it, you lose the desire for it. I remember one time deciding with a friend to canoe up the Manangatagan River in northern Manitoba, and we're going to fast and pray. Now, fasting and praying is a good thing to do, just not when you're canoeing upriver. We got up about a day. We got so hungry, it felt like my stomach was scraping my backbone. We started trying to figure out if we could chew bark or if we could, what green weeds we could chew on, and finally we realized now we're getting tired and weak, and we better get back. And the more we went out with the food, I can't remember being so hungry after working out all day paddling in this cool water with the sun beating at you. But see, the word of God is different. If you stop coming to church, if you stop reading the word, you lose the desire for it. And so many people will stop going to church, stop getting into the word, and they feel fine. But I've got news for you. Listen, Saturday's coming. There's going to come a storm. There's going to be something that blows. And you're going to be like those two houses where they both thought they were fine, but the one was utterly destroyed and the other one couldn't be shaken. And the one that couldn't be shaken, it wasn't strengthened during the storm. It was strengthened before the storm. The carpenter built the strength into that house before the storm. When the storm came and the other house was sloppily put together, it didn't put the shingles on better and straighten out the walls and drive the screws in deeper and straighten it. No, it utterly destroyed it. Listen to me. God will never force you. God's not going to make you. God's not going to slap you upside the head and say, follow me. He is, but his still small voice has been speaking to you. And you know he's been speaking to you saying, listen, look around you. Look at the affairs of the world. Look what's going on in the world. Look what's going on with the leaderships of the world. And are you in my word? That super natural seed that will grow and amplify the blessing of God into your life. You can grow from strength to strength. You can see the presence of God rise up on the inside of you and begin to affect everything that's important to you. And God, you need to spend time in His Word. Grab some time every morning, every night. Rather than listening to the top 40 for countless hours or watching, you know, CNN, constant negative news, continuously, get the word on the inside of you. Because whatever goes on in the world around me, someone told me at the beginning of this COVID thing, they said, well, you know, we're going to have to figure out, got to lay everybody off, shut everything down. Let's see if we can't weather the storm. And I thought to myself, I didn't go into the ministry to hunker down, circle the wagons, and stay in a circle formation going nowhere. So not a chance. Let's get up and let's go do something great for God, something different. Do it in a new way. Church can't be stopped because a building is shut down. See, something rises up in you, and you get up and you just keep going with your business, your marriage, your home, your health, your finances, your career, whatever's going on in your life. It is the word that builds the strength of God into you. Father, I ask you to touch every person listening to me right now. I pray that they just have an awe of the scriptures. They can never be broken. Your word is unkillable seed. Nothing can stop it. But we're the ones that need to believe it. I pray that every believer listening to me would not just be born again. They would become a disciple, a disciplined follower of Jesus through the word. And for those who don't know you, I pray right now they'll make that decision. I want to lead everybody in an incredible prayer. This is a prayer of getting right with God. Jesus died on a cross. He took your sin. He went to hell in your place so that you could live a life of an overcomer, a conqueror, a person who succeeds, that can't be taken out. That's called a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, you don't know everything about it, but you have to make the decision. God will never force you to accept this gift of salvation. But today, if you're listening to me and you're thinking, Leon, I need Jesus. I need his word. The very first thing you should do is give your life to him and ask him to come into your heart. It goes like this. Just pray with me wherever you are. Just say, dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. He died in my place so I could be in your family. Jesus, come into my heart. I'm following you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for your strength. Teach me your word as I study it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Now continue to follow us. Get out to Springs Church. Watch us on television. Get a hold of a Bible. But make sure that the word becomes first place in your life.